And so as we look at the scripture text that we read this morning in Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8, I want to bring you a message entitled, What Will You Do with the Resurrected Christ? What will you do with the resurrected Christ? We're going to look at the end of the Gospel of Mark this morning, but before we turn there, let's think about what's happened so far in Mark's Gospel, because he starts with a purpose and he ends with a purpose. This is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He wants us to understand that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And then there were a bunch of testimonies to the fact that he was God. And then there's some purpose statements in the middle. And now we're coming to the end. Passover is over. The Saturday Sabbath has passed. The first Sunday after Passover has arrived. It is the Feast of First Fruits. It's also the third day after Jesus was crucified and buried. So as far as Jesus is concerned, everything has gone according to plan. He even predicted his death, burial, and resurrection multiple times for his disciples. And so let's start back. If you have the handout, you have the scriptures there. If you're reading along in your Bible, turn back to Mark chapter 8, verses 27 through 34. We find prediction number one. This is where Peter confesses that Jesus is the Christ. Mark chapter 8, verse 27. And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, Who do people say that I am? And they told him, John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets. And he asked them, But who do you say that I am? Peter answered him, You are the Christ. And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, Get behind me, Satan, for you're not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The disciples here recognize the deity of Christ, but not his work. When Jesus begins to talk about his substitutionary death for our sins, Peter balks at that. But at least the disciples know that they need to die to themselves and follow Christ. Let's see how they do with that. Turn over to Mark chapter 14, verses 26 through 31. Mark chapter 14. Now we're just after the Passover meal that the disciples had. They're about to head to the garden on the Mount of Olives. Verse 26, And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, You will all fall away. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter said to him, Even though they all fall away, I will not. And Jesus said to him, Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. But Peter said emphatically, If I must die with you, I will not deny you. And then everybody else chimes in. They all said the same. But when Jesus is brought before the high priest, and Jesus is confessing that he is the Christ to the high priest, and they convict him of blasphemy, out in the courtyard, Peter is going through his own trial as to whether he knows who Jesus is. And he denies him 3 times. Jesus is taken away to be crucified. Look over to Mark chapter 15, verse 20. It says, And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. And they led him out to crucify him. And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. Simon of Cyrene carried the cross that Peter should have. Jesus said, you need to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Peter said he would, but he didn't. Now it's interesting. What Peter was a nickname that Jesus gave to Peter. What was Peter's given name? Simon. Who carries the cross? Simon. It's a different Simon, right? Simon of Cyrene. And he's a real person. I mean, you know, he's Mark writes as if we know him, right? He's the father of Alexander and Rufus. But God has written some metadata into our story here by using a Simon to carry the cross that Peter should have been willing to take up and go to the cross with. So, confession number one, or prediction number one, doesn't go so well. I've labeled the next prediction, prediction 1A, because it's only to Peter, James, and John. Look at Mark chapter 9, starting in verse 2. This is after the confession. Jesus says, some of you will get to see the kingdom of God coming in power and glory. And in all three gospels, synoptic gospels, the transfiguration follows that confession of Christ, or as Jesus as the Christ. And we come upon this in verse 2, Mark 9, verse 2 through 10. And after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And then I love the narrator comes in and says, for he did not know what to say, for they were terrified. And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, this is my beloved Son, listen to him. And suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, he charged them to tell no one what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. So they kept the matter to themselves, questioning what this rising from the dead might mean. They still don't understand what Jesus is talking about, so they just don't talk about it. Then we come to prediction number two. Look on down in Mark chapter 9 to verse 30. All these predictions are on their way, heading towards Jerusalem. Mark chapter 9, verse 30. They went on from there and passed through Galilee, and he did not want anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise. But they did not understand the saying, and were afraid to ask him. They don't understand what Jesus is talking about, so they don't talk about it. But they do discuss which is the greatest disciple. Like, which one of us is doing the best job of following Jesus, right? Look at verse 33. And they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, Jesus asked them, what were you discussing on the way? And just like your kids when they were teenagers and you knew they had done something wrong, they kept silent. For on the way, they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12 and he said to them, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. And he took a child and put him in the midst of them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. They're still confused, but at least they know that they need to love kids and serve the least in society in order to be great in the kingdom. Let's see how they do with that. Look on over to Mark chapter 10, verse 13. And they, this is the people in the crowds, they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, let the children come to me, do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. The disciples are at best, slow learners, right? They just don't seem to be getting it. Our final prediction comes at the towards the end of Mark 10. Mark 10, starting in verse 32. And they were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them, and they were amazed. And those who followed were afraid because Jesus had been threatened in Jerusalem, and he's not hesitating. He's moving on ahead. And taking the 12 again, he began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, and now he gets very detailed with what's going to happen. He says, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles, and they will mock him and spit on him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise." So what do the disciples do? They argue over who is the greatest, especially James and John. They actually think they're the greatest, so they just ask. Look at verse 35. "And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, 'Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask you.' And he said to them, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And they said to him, 'Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory.' Jesus said to them, 'You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or to be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?' And like Peter previously with the denial things, and they said to him, 'We are able.' Jesus said to them, 'The cup that I drink, you will drink. You will eventually drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared.' And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him, and he said to them, 'You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them, but it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many.'" Here in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus finally gives the purpose for his coming. He is going to give his life as a ransom for many. But what about that prominence that James and John desired? To be at the right hand and the left of Jesus in his glory. It didn't happen. They fled when Jesus was arrested in the garden. Look to Mark chapter 14, verse 48. Mark chapter 14, verse 48. The high priest and the guards have come and they've surrounded Jesus in the garden. In verse 48, "And Jesus said to them, 'Have you come out again as against a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me, but let the scriptures be fulfilled.' And they all left him and fled. And a young man followed him with nothing but a linen cloak about his body. And they seized him, but he left the linen cloth and ran away naked." Instead of James and John, look to Mark chapter 15, verses 26 and 27. James and John abandoned Jesus, as all the disciples did. They were ashamed of him. Look at Mark 15, verse 26. "And the inscription of the charge against Jesus read, 'The King of the Jews.' And with him they crucified two robbers." Where were they? One on his right and one on his left. The disciples have misunderstood Jesus. They failed miserably to follow him. It should have been James and John crucified next to Jesus, but they failed. Was Jesus surprised? No. Everything was going according to plan. Now let's go to our passage in Mark 16, the passage we read this morning. Jesus went alone to the cross. He died and was buried. So far, everything has went just as he said it would. The only thing Jesus predicted that hadn't happened yet was his resurrection from the dead. Let's look at our text and see how Jesus' prediction came true. It says, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb, and they were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. Now, who is this guy? The only young man that Mark mentions in his gospel is the one in the garden when Jesus was arrested. The one who was seized by the soldiers. He was like the last one who was trying to follow Jesus. All the others had abandoned. He's trying to follow Jesus, but then they grab him to arrest him, and he says, you know what? I don't need this robe after all. And he takes off naked. That young man is now sitting in an empty tomb, clothed in a white robe. Where did we hear about white clothing previously in the Gospel of Mark? At the Transfiguration. Jesus' clothing became brilliantly white. I believe Mark likes to use characters in his gospel as representatives of the disciples. They're living parables, if you will, in his story. And for more on that, sign up for the Understanding and Applying God's Word, okay, and come to that. But this young man was like the disciples. I believe he's a stand-in for the disciples. He failed to follow Jesus perfectly. He was left naked and ashamed in the garden, not just like the disciples, but like Adam and Eve after they sinned. You know what? He was a lot like you and me. But Christ, he came and he lived a righteous life represented by his brilliant white clothes. Jesus went alone to the cross to ransom his people from their sins, and now he clothes his disciples in white garments representing his righteousness, his robes for mine. Revelation 7, 9 and 10 says this, after this I looked and behold a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Jesus came, lived a perfect life, and died as a ransom for our sins. What will you do with the resurrected Christ? If you've never trusted him and him alone for your salvation, then today your reaction to the resurrected Christ needs to be to repent of your sins and to ask God to forgive you of those sins because of what Christ did for you. And then follow him with your life. Be clothed in his righteousness. Rely on his righteousness and then follow him with your life. What will you do with the resurrected Christ? Let's look at what the young man says to the women at the tomb. Look at verse 6. And he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. Jesus is resurrected. His prediction was true. Everything went according to plan. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, who gave himself as a ransom for those who will repent of their sins and follow him. And because he lives, so will his followers. That's the good news. That's the gospel. Even for a Christ-denying man like Peter. Tell Peter. Oh, good news. You said you wanted to die with Jesus. You said you'd deny yourself, but you didn't. Instead, you denied him 3 times. But guess what? His robes for yours. You're saved by faith. not by works. What a gospel. What good news. And the young man here is eager to tell others about it. Let's see how they react. Mark 16, verse 8. And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. That's not what I expected to happen. I expected these ladies to rejoice and tell others. Their Lord and Master, He lives. His death, burial, and resurrection brings hope to a lost and dying world. Who did they fear? Why would they stay quiet about such good news? Well, what about you? Who are you telling about Jesus Christ? What's the difference between that Sunday morning 2,000 years ago and today? Is Christ in the tomb? No. Is He still risen? Yes. Did He still die for the sins of those who will repent and follow Him with their lives? Yes. Is it still good news? Yes. Well, why won't we tell others? Mark presents us here with two types of people in these closing verses. One who is eagerly testifying that Christ is risen, and the other silenced by fear. Which type of person are you? What will you do with the resurrected Christ? You see, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, who gave Himself as a ransom for those who will repent of their sins and follow Him. And because He lives, so will His followers. That's good news. It's the gospel. And Mark writes at the beginning, this is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's ending here with a quandary. How does the gospel continue? We had the beginning of the gospel. How will it continue? It continues by these ladies eventually overcoming their fear and telling the disciples. And of course, they told others and they told others. And fast forward 2,000 years and somebody told you. Who are you telling about the good news of a resurrected Christ? So there's three reactions. One, if you're not saved, you need to trust Christ and Christ alone for your salvation. Repent of your sins and throw yourself upon the mercy of God because of what Jesus did for you. And God will save you. He'll give you His righteousness, which is what we need. But then the other reactions to a resurrected Savior is fear and silence, or rejoicing and telling. What will your reaction be to a resurrected Christ? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for Jesus Christ. Oh, that He came as God in the flesh, and He did not come to be served, but to serve us, and to give His life to ransom or to pay for our sins, that we might in turn live for Him. Father, thank You for that Easter morning so many years ago, and we thank You that the tomb is empty and it remains empty, and that Christ is seated at Your right hand. But we also know, Father, that He won't stay there forever. He didn't stay dead, and He's not going to stay gone. He will return for His people. And we know that we have a hope of being resurrected with Him as Christians. Father, I pray, move in our hearts to tell others, this valley needs Christ. And You and Your wisdom have chosen us as the means by which others will hear. Calm our fears, Father, and may we value You and Your glory more than we fear people. And help us to tell others about the good news of a resurrected Christ. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.